Episode 8 with Nate the Great Brooks, a Magic City hustler, still keeping it real.
Hey, man, I'm from Scott Projects, the biz zap by the tracks, you know, the home team side, Little City, born and raised, you know. They bust us out to North Miami High School, basically, so everybody didn't have to go to Northwestern so we could see some white people back then because there weren't no white people in our community, so.
What year was that, Nate?
Oh, like 93, 90, 91, 92, 93. Those 3 years there, I was at North Miami High School.
Yeah, but you see, I'm from Hialeah, and I went to school. I went to Hialeah High during those very same years, 91, 92, 93. And, bro, like you said, bro, I didn't go out to Liberty City, and when I did, I wasn't doing nothing good. You see what I'm saying? But
yeah.
But it was, yeah, man. There was a lot of division, man. The Cubans and the blacks. There was a lot of heat back then too because of the riots and everything else, man. But yeah, man. So talk to me more about not only that you're from Miami, but you decided, okay, I'm gonna go to high school. You went to high school. You started playing ball. You started playing ball for what, Northwestern?
Repeat the question.
Were you going? You said you were playing ball for Northwestern, right?
No, I went to North Miami High School. And what they did was they bust us out to North Miami, so you know the community we could see some white people because there were no white people in our hood, so everybody was going to Northwestern. You know, it's like an all black school, so. Yeah. We wanted to mix it up a little bit. So we went to Thomas Jefferson Middle School, North Miami. Today, North Miami is, full of the Zoes right now. So they took over. You know, it ain't a white school no more. You know what I mean?
Wow, man. I'll tell you what, bro. And that's my thing, man. With La Crónicas of the Green Chair web series, with that platform I cover passion and culture between Central and South Florida. But man, I'll tell you what, bro, it's changed. The cultures are so different from the time that I left 19 years ago.
Yeah.
Completely different, bro. It's a different thing. Completely different, man. Everything's different. So talk to me, bro. So you went to college, and talk to me about the U, bro.
Yeah, you went well. Also, what helped me get to UM because you brought Hialeah up. I scored 5 touchdowns in 1 game in Hialeah.
Oh man, what year was that, bro?
I raked it up. I think it was my senior year. You know what I'm saying?
That was your senior year. That was what, 93?
Yeah. 93, yeah. Yeah, I remember I scored 5 touchdowns on that school.
Man, do you have any pictures on stuff like that? Do you have any video footage? I would love to put that up on social
media. You know, I had video, but you know, as time progressed, whatever, we didn't upload to YouTube. You know, the VHS is no longer here now. Toys R Us is no longer here.
Yeah.
The old ladies at the toll booths. are no longer here.
I hear you.
And them loudmouth girls at Sam's supermarket. It ain't that many of them there. Now they got the do it yourself cash out machine.
Oh man. So brother, talk to me about that experience, man. The U
was like, you know, the U was like, those the golden days for me. You know, I came out of high school and I had a quote in the newspaper saying that I don't respect the college level, you know, and that was what I was, you know, I was standing by, you know, I felt I was one of the baddest players on the planet, you know, so that stirred up a frenzy. You know, you had guys like Lamar Thomas, who's already graduated. You had guys like Michael Irvin. You had those kind of guys waiting on me more than the players who was on the team waiting on me. You know what I mean? And once you get out there to play, it was like, yo, you talk, where's Nate? Where's Nate? Where's Nate at? Where the dude Nate Brooks at? You know, I wasn't Nate the Great then, but they was calling me Nate. And Coach Erickson, he named me football. He was calling me Football Brooks. But, and like, you talked a lot of shit in the paper, man. What's up? You know, and I was like, what's up? You know, I'm backing down. You know what I mean? But Chris T. Jones, they called him Cobra Head. You know, he took it amongst himself. You know, he went to the NFL. He played with the Philadelphia Eagles for a while before he got injured. He took it upon himself to make sure that he beat me every day. You know, like, it was amazing, like, how good those guys were. And but what I respect about Chrissy Jones was that he kept talking to me after he kicking my ass, telling me, like, I need you to stay who you are. Don't let this, you know, break you down, you know, because this is green tree out here. You know, it's the best of the best, you know. And I was puzzled because I was like, nobody can't catch balls on me, you know. And they was just relentless with making sure I understood that not only was they going to catch balls on me, but they were going to do the shit every day, like one hand catches and shit like that. So I was like, scrapping, man, you know. And it was just one after the other, man. You had just so many receivers, and they was waiting on me, like just waiting, you know. So it get to a point where Coach Erickson say, all right, lay off for Nate. He's here now. He's one of us. You know what I mean? And it was almost like they made me, you know, earn, you know, they respect as well as they pretty much earn my respect, you know. So it wasn't high school no more, but the Hurricanes, it's a different dimension, you know. And you can bring that type of fire to yourself if you talk the type of trash I talk, you know, man. And then being a rapper, it ain't help, because you know it's like, you like, I'm a gangbanger, I'm a gang members there and all, but when you're on the field, you out there by yourself. So that was really a phase of my life where I won and I lost, but I grew, you know what I mean. And if I had to do it all again, I'd do it the same way.
Wow, man, no regret. And that's what I get out of that, bro. It's that's amazing. I'll tell you what, that's a story right there. That's a movie on its own right there.
yeah, pretty much.
But I'll tell you, man, so then all of us, all these years go by, the University of Miami thing, because I remember, bro, I mean, I joined the Army, so I shipped off in 93. And then I remember, man, UM during those years was it. That was it. There was nothing else, bro. And Miami right. Culture, man, please, man. Even to this day, man. I mean, wow, man. University of Miami, what an honor, bro, to be able to not only go to school there, but to play ball during those years, man. I mean, that's like, wow. So then, man, all these years go by, and then NFL, was that something that was something being considered, or what went down with that?
Well, with me, you know what I'm saying? I was like the best special team player to ever come through University of Miami. They called me the special team king, you know what I'm saying? And I idolized Bill Bates, you know, from Dallas Cowboys. You know, I knew special team was my niche. You know, it's just that I dislocated my shoulder my senior year, blocking the punt. That's what my trademark was, you know. So after I didn't get drafted, I was projected to go like second round, you know. But, you know, it was just one punter in front of me for our special team. No, because you get the special team picks as yep. well. But if you're not immaculate, man, like a Devin Hester or something like that, you know, you can slide on down. They can get you after the draft, and that's what happened. So as soon as the draft was over, you know, my phone rung a couple of times. I got on first it was 49ers. You know what I'm saying? The 49ers, and they flew me out west, so I was there, and I talk about this in my book, Black with No Excuses. You know, I tackled Jerry Rice in some shorts, and that caused it all kind of havoc. You know, Steve Mariucci was the coach at the time. You know, you had Terrell Owens on the team. You had J.J. Stokes, some big receivers. But I was thinking it was slow. You know, I was fresh off Santana Moss. You know, like this. Yeah, I'm quick as hell. I'm quick as a cat. Jerry Rice, you know, he is the first screen. I was the third screen trying to make the team. He do some little down and out. I was all over his fucking back, man. You know, last time I saw him, he was spitting up grass out his mouth. You know what I mean? But the thing is, Steve Mariucci, they runs over there to me. They say, Nate, man, what are you doing? You don't touch World. They call him World. like the world. You know, they don't call him Rice, call him World. They be like, don't touch World. You don't put your hands on him. You don't understand how to practice. That's how you practice down in Miami. What's wrong with you? The next time you touch World, before he fall on the ground, before he land on the ground, your plane will be landing in Miami. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, what kind of mafia talk is this? You know, I never heard nobody tell me no shit like that. So I told my agent, and he was like, God, I said, man, I don't even feel like I'm on the team no more. You know what I'm saying? I did apologize. That's only one thing I do regret. Is that I apologized to Jerry Rice in the locker room. And he just looked at me, and he didn't even really respond. And I almost, in my heart, I wanted to push him in the back. Like, fuck you. You know, like, I'm a king. You know, like, we got the most players in the NFL. I don't care nothing about none of this shit. You know, but, you know, I didn't, because he had some big guys around. They probably would have stumped me out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I just took it on the chin, but I got cut. They brought Charles Haley off for retirement. At the time, Charles Haley was the only guy with 5 Super Bowl rings. They released like 13, 19 of us. So then, next thing you know, I went back home, trained with the Kings in the locker room, you know, and my phone rang again, and it's the Patriots. I went from the West Coast to the East Coast. You know, now I was over there with Ty Law. That's when they released Willie Clay. So at the beginning, you know, Lloyd Malloy and Ty Law, them boys, they weren't really speaking to me, because, you know, they got rid of Willie Clay. You know, they were like the big three, pretty much, you know. And I read it in the newspaper, that contract was because of me and what I was in. You know, whenever they get rid of somebody, they got to bring somebody in, you know. But I was like, well, shit, it ain't my fault. But I wasn't here to talk to guys anyway. It was just later on, Lloyd Malloy came up to me and was like, you know what, man, Tupac, you all right? They were calling me Tupac at the time. I said, man, you cool, man. We was upset because Willie Clay was gone. But then I started saying, oh, shit. And I felt bad because I love Willie Clay. I'm like, man, I love all three of y'all. I'm a fan of y'all boys. I ain't no shit, man. I'm here now, though, you know. But the funny part about being with the Patriots was Willie McGinnis was the linebacker. He was my host in high school when I went on my trip, my visit to USC.
Right.
Willie McGinnis, he, you know what I'm saying, he was my damn host, man. So when he saw me in the locker room, I was like, what's up? He said, hell nah. He said, man, y'all don't know him, man. I was his host. And, you know, we was having a lot of fun.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we had a lot of fun. So, you know, I blocked 7 kicks during the Patriots, doing my preseason there. I got 3 tackles in the Redskin game, quarterback sack against the Cowboys. You know, it just didn't, you know, they had, you know, Asante Samuels, and, you know, and that they decided that's the route they wanted to take. But
wow, man.
Yeah, I love football, man. That was a roller coaster, you know.
And what's the name of your book?
Oh, my book, Black with No Excuses. This is basically an inspirational book talking about how African Americans gotta stop having excuses, blaming the white man, the Cubans, the Jews, and, you know, just, you know, Nate the Great get his master's degree in 6 companies and, you know, doing my thing. I, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
That's it, man. Much respect, man. Man, so all these years, man, go fast forward here, man. And all of a sudden you get an email. And you got an email from University of Miami in regards to Magic City Casino and an opportunity to play Hialeah. Now that's definitely a curveball right there, bro.
Big time.
So talk to me about that.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, that's got me baffled.
Yeah, big time curveball. After sitting around on my ice cream truck, you know, eating the hot dogs and getting big and just chilling and eating ice cream, you know, with my kids. We really had to hung up the cleats. And then when you see an email like that with those numbers on the $300,000 and you get to play for that money, I'm like, what the hell? I just felt there was a prank, like I said, you know. And then they wanted to prank Nate the Great, you know, so it's all good. And I just went ahead and messed around and responded to it and found out it wasn't a prank. And it ended up being a blessing in disguise, man. It was a hard blessing, but you know, I fought it out. I'm a competitor.
Yeah, man.
You know.
So all of a sudden, you start doing your thing, and all this is featured in the movie Magic City Hustle, Billy Corbin's film. And I'll tell you what, man, what I loved, the intro, bro. The intro, as soon as the intro, because I got online, bro. I got online, and I'm not too computer savvy, believe it or not. I'm not. I'm a hustler, dude. I'm like, I'm going to figure it out. If I can't figure it out, if I make the mistake, I'm going to learn from the mistake, move forward. You know, if I screwed up, I'm going to make it right. And that's it. You know, that's all you could do. But I'm not going to keep looking back. I'm going to get a crick in my neck, dude. You know, it's like, I got to move forward. So all of a sudden, man, I'm looking. I said, man, I'm going to get this movie. So I said, it's got to be easy. So I just got online, and obviously I went to IG, and there was, you know, magiccityhustle.com. And I'm like, all right, the link, and Rocket Tour Films. And when it was $5. I was surprised, dude. It was $5. And I was like, all right, boom. So being $5 and one of my hustles being $5 flip, and I parked all that content under the hashtag $5 flip, $5 flip. And what I do is that I go buy stuff and I flip it. And I learned that from Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V on social media. And he does trash talk. And I said, man, I'm going to see if this works where I'm at. And once I started doing it, I started making money. And that started feeding me to be able to buy the microphones and the stuff that I needed for the other two creative platforms. So as I started watching that movie, man, and the opening, just the opening of the drone work that David Sipkin did, just dropping like that right in front of the ice cream truck. I mean, that was it right there. I was sold right there.
Yeah, that was live right there, man. That thing, like Boys in the Hood, ain't it?
I'll tell you what, bro, because it's that's it. And it just drops in from the sky, brother. It just drops in from the sky. And you see the neighborhood. And then you see downtown Miami. And we know the story, you know, Cocaine Cowboys and how City of Miami downtown really was built upon. And just crazy, man. So talk to me about Magic City Hustle, the movie. That experience. There's a lot to talk about that. But talk to me about that, man.
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, you know, the impact that the movie have gotten, it has been tremendous, you know what I'm saying? And everybody has reached out to me, gave me an A+, man, in the movie. They were like, man, you jump off that screen, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, and then my kids, they were like, dad, you're not acting, you being yourself. They think you're acting, you're not acting. So my kids really enjoyed it. You know, Marlon was in town from Ohio. He got to go to the premiere, you know what I'm saying? My son Wayne. My other son's a rapper, Lil Dre. He got a song with Rick Ross and Major Nine. He played with the Cleveland Browns. He grew up with my son, and they got a song together. And you know, they done got on the Billboard charts right now with a song called "Nice and Slow" with Lil Dre and the Bar Greasy. He's another you know, famous rapper down here. So you know, all my kids are very proud of them, and they're proud of me to see me on the big screen, and everybody, all my fans, when I make a play in Magic and when playing Highlight, my slogan is "Get them out of here." You know, like The Rock say, if you can smell what The Rock is cooking, you know, and he do his eyebrows, I cut right under my neck with my thumb, and I say, "Get your ass out of here!" Like once I beat you with the highlight, when I make a point with the sister, I let you know to go sit your ass down. I just get your ass out of here. Get them out of here like that. And then all of a sudden, the fans said they'll do it. And they kept doing it. And I kept doing it. And man, you have to see it, bro. They go crazy when I do that. Get them out of here. That's my slogan right there.
I got a confession to make, bro. I got a confession to make, brother. I'm from Miami, you know. But I'm here to tell you, I've never seen a live highlight game ever. Wow. Never, bro. So, but I've always been a huge fan. Miami Vice anybody that knows me knows that I'm a huge Miami Vice fan. I've never been to a game, bro. I've just never been there. You know, because, I mean, there was a lot of stigma with Hialeah back in the days, me growing up in Hialeah. It was like, hey, no vaya pa ahí. Don't you go over there. That's dangerous. You know, bad people go there. You know, it's in Northwest 36th Street. You don't go over there. You know, pink pussycat, you know, strip club, blah, blah, blah. So so that right there always kept me away from that area, even though later on in life I definitely got in trouble out there on Northwest 36 and that whole area by Jackson High School and all that stuff out there. But yeah, man. But you were rapping way before. Were you rapping back in the days where you were playing ball for the U?
Yeah, what happened was I was the only player other than Rohan Marley who was awarded by the NCAA to continue to make money. My lawyer, Michael Scott, I got a Jewish lawyer, one time for Mike S-K-O-P, baby. Mike Scott, he had to go to court, and we had to file a petition to prove that I was making funds to make ends meet, you know, and pay my mom bills and everything like that prior to coming in. Once you could prove that, then they didn't stop it, so... That's what happened, and I was happy. I used to have money on in the locker room. I had a Jaguar, black Jaguar. You know, at the time, it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it was like I was in the NFL before all of them.
Man.
Doing my thing like Master P. Luther Campbell was my music consultant, but I couldn't be around him because of the situation that had happened prior. But I even proved that I was with Luke before I got the UM. I used to go to the Pat Jam and win events, you know, cash prizes, things of that nature.
Wow.
But I distanced myself from them once I got to UM because it was just, you know, the thing to do.
Yeah, I get it. But man, so now you're in the movie, man, that experience with Magic City Hustle, everything's being filmed. Like you said, we weren't really acting. You were just having fun, bro. It seems like right?
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah. I'll tell you, so, you know, I don't know if you know, but my aunt, she lives in Hialeah, and she used to work at the Flagler Dog Track before Magic City Casino, and she worked at the as a food vendor there for 20-plus years, man. So I was actually talking to her. I said, let me feature you on the podcast. And she's so old school. She's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. You know, so we'll see, man. But I would love to get her take on what the Flagler Dog Track experience was for those 20 plus years. I'll tell you what, she's told me many of times she was very passionate about her job during that time there. She really enjoyed that time at the Flagler Dog Track. She's always told me that. But the movie, you made some money, because I know that from watching the movie.
Yeah.
You made some money, and with that money, you reinvested that money, because you've had a couple of businesses, and that was highlighted in the movie as well. When you went down to the Apalaca Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
Yeah, because you were trying to present another business, and I love that scene, man. I love that scene, because I'll tell you what, man. I can relate with that scene because I'm passionate, man. And I'll go in there and I'll start firing for effect. And then people are looking at me twisted like, man, what is this guy talking about? Yeah, but it's you know, it's just the passion, bro. But I love that, man. And I'll tell you what, another part of the movie that I really wanted to talk about that really touched me where I'm at in my own personal life, what's going on right now, and is when you found yourself and you're like, man, I'm so out of shape, this, that, the other, and you're jumping rope. You're getting there early. You're putting the work in. You're jumping rope. Right. You're doing your thing. You know, you got the stuff around your belly trying to sweat that stuff off, and you're putting the work in, and then you got to that part when Tanner Davis and that scene.
Tanard Davis.
And when you guys got to that scene there with what's his name? Dalton.
Oh, Dalton with the beard?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was talking to him as well. I would love to have him as well. I would love to feature him as well, man. Yeah. But yeah, that scene when you guys got to that pub, that bar, and it was the Orange Bowl, and you guys saw that stadium, that picture.
Yeah.
You guys, talk to me about that scene right there, bro.
Well, to be honest with you, man, that, believe it or not, after I saw the movie, I was like, damn, man, they didn't edit the damn play I was talking about. Everybody's so caught up on the winning touchdown play, and that's just something I could never top. Even the highlight play, that's the biggest play of my life. I said, I just topped that winning touchdown. I don't care what nobody say when I made that winning play with the highlight and at this stage of my life and how tired I was and how much was on the line. Man, I'm telling you. So, you know, I was explaining to them, only thing, if I knew Billy, matter of fact, when I see Billy, I'm going to talk to Billy. I'm going to tell him, man, if y'all would have told me y'all was going to edit that and put that in there, you know, because they was just super nice to me, you know. I would have told you where the play was at, because all you got to do is go on YouTube, Megaball 56, for all my fans. You want to see all about Nate the Great life. They did a documentary on my life when I was at University of Miami. The cameras followed me every day for 3 years. It came in third place out of 500 films in this California Film Festival. It's titled Big Plans, and that's when I was at UM. You know what I'm saying? Everything happened. They were following me up until I didn't get drafted. You know, just that was my life, man, showing you everything I was doing with music and stuff. You know, but Ed Reed blocked the kick, and I caught it out of midair, and I scored it right in that, what I was telling him, I point up, and that's on the cover of my CD. That's that play right there in the Ernest jersey. And I explained, I said, that was the reason I was crying on that video is because I was like, it's Marlon Bonds, my cousin that got murdered at campus. He signed that board. I seen his handwriting. I was like, damn, he was here. You know, yeah. And that would have shook me. I didn't know I was finna see no goddamn Orange Bowl with no players from the past signatures and stuff. So he caught me off guard with that. You know what I mean?
Got you.
But they didn't. All they had to do is go to my documentary, and that's how the documentary ends.
Gotcha.
It ends with that play. They could have snatched it and put that, but what they did was they just went to the winning touchdown in Morgantown.
Gotcha.
And you know, I was like, oh my God, that's the wrong play, but it was no big deal. But you know.
How do we find your documentary again?
Oh, you go right to YouTube and just hit search Megaball, Megaball 56. And I put in the number 56 because of Marlon Bonds, you know, he was murdered on campus in 96, you know. And I named my son Marlon Brooks. I named him after Marlon.
Gotcha. Makes sense. What's Marlon's middle? He's got a middle name, right?
Who, my son?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marlon. We call him Marlon What Rob Brooks. But on his birth
certificate. Gotcha. I mean, that's what I was trying to get at, though.
Yeah, Marlon What Rob Brooks. We call him What Rob because he's like the best cover cornerback in the country. And no matter what route the receiver run, he cover him. He all over him.
Gotcha, man. That's cool, man. It's funny how all these nicknames, man, even in football culture, man, how it goes along and it evolves. I mean, because a lot of people, man, down south, they know me as Ozzy. I was a big Ozzy Osbourne fan back in the days. Then I came up here, and a lot of people called me Izzy because when I came up here from South Florida, my accent was real thick. And one of the guys busted my chops. I worked in the fire department, and he was like, man, you remind me of Izzy, dude, that dude in Miami Vice that was always up to no good, that Cuban guy. And so the nickname stuck. And so now, you know, obviously I'm trying to do my thing, so I'm like, I'm going back to my government name, which is Asbel. And interestingly enough, it's I had somebody when I was going to college recently, a couple of years ago, they looked it up and it's Hebrew. It comes from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. And it means old fire. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll take it. But I'll tell you what, man. I've had all type of nicknames as well, man. And I get it. Wow, man. So, yeah, man, I've never seen that documentary. I really want to check that out as well. And the whole time, man, you're out there, you're rapping throughout all this process. You're trying to make ends meet. You're hustling. Now, when you won the prize, with that money, you invested that into your business, another business, and now that's your trucking company.
Right.
Gotcha. Sweet, brother. So, man, you got a lot of stuff going on, bro. Good for you, man. You know what would be really cool? Because I was thinking about this, and I'll mention it now. Why not? I mean, I was like, man, I would love to see what a film crew following you. Because I truly believe you have the true DNA of an entrepreneur. I believe you're a full-bred entrepreneur. Do you consider yourself a full-bred entrepreneur?
Yes.
Okay. When did you know, bro? When did you know that you know, hustling was your thing?
All my life, man. I think I've been doing some everything in the projects, you know, from pumping gas to washing cars, you know, to selling mangoes. You know, it's just an ongoing thing in Elizabeth City. I never got into nothing negative, like as far as drugs and things of that nature. So,
right.
You know, I was doing pretty much everything else, though, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're hustling, but you're doing it right, man. You're doing the right thing. Yeah, man. That's so cool, man. I'll tell you what, my uncle, I talked to you about my aunt that worked at Flagler Dog Track. My uncle, her husband, he passed away years back, but he was a hustler, man. He would go out, man. He would get on the car and he would go out to the causeways and he would pick up oysters and clams and all type of stuff, man. And he would sell them. So he would go to the Orange Bowl after the game. So you got the University of Miami games, you got the Dolphins playing, whatever. And people, and he's out there. He's one of the guys out there selling, you know, one of the merchants. And he didn't, for a long time, he didn't have permits and stuff, man. You know, he's just out there making money, bro. And but then he got all official with it, and he was legit, man. And he had, you know, he was paying the bills, man, making ends meet. Yeah, he was a hustler, man. He was a full-bred entrepreneur in his own day. But so anyways, man, so what are the plans, man? What are the plans? Because I know, man, there's all type of billboards in Miami, and it's Magic City Hustle, man. And there's a lot of billboards, and it's got your son as well, and he's playing for what, Ohio?
Yeah, Ohio Bobcats.
Oh man, I mean, just it's awesome. When I mean, just the whole family's out there doing stuff, man. And with football, and did anybody play ball before you or no?
My big brother Arthur Brooks, he played high school football. He was an All-American. You know, he didn't get the chance to go any further, but that
right.
Who basically put the seed in my head and planted that, and he the one who basically pushed us to continue to grow. He was the real deal, you know. He played back in the era with Coach Shannon. Coach Shannon played at American, and he talked about my brother all the time. Back then, you know, you lose a scholarship. My brother had a kid early, so back then it was a big deal. You know, you had a baby, oh, man, you're 12 years, da-da-da. So they pulled away because of that. But these days, you can get off like that. It don't no big deal if you have kids early.
Yeah, see, I never went to college. I was always lazy for school, man. Like for me, like my first job was really with the Miami Herald, man. So I was 9 years old and I was working for the Miami Herald and I was selling subscriptions. So when you would go to Publix or, you know, any of them stores, we would be outside with the little booth. And I'll tell you what, I was crushing it, man. Back then I was making $350. Usually at least a week, and that's working once or twice a week. So I was really making about $150 a day going out, just selling subscriptions, man. And so I was good at sales. I was always good at sales. Always good at sales. But, you know, sales, that's one thing that I've learned is with sales, you got to go to the consumer. Right. My passion is marketing, like digital marketing. I'm trying to learn. So everything that I'm doing on social really is documenting my learning process, you know, and trying to give value back to the end consumer. So, I mean, this story that's being narrated here and documented in this podcast is gold, brother. This is an experience that should be a movie, bro.
Yeah.
Straight up. Are you thinking about, have you had talks about documenting this into a movie? I mean, your life, bro, your journey.
Well, you know, like I said, we got one documentary on Nate Brooks already, Nate the Great. This, and then this highlight documentary is catching up to, you know, everybody who was wondering what I was doing, like life after football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get my own budget right, I get the right people that has mm-hmm. the vision that I have that can match my energy. You know, we could put that thing together right, you know, but it definitely, it can't be rushed or somebody just hungry to do a project. You know, I'm not just a simple project, you know, I'm like scattered out. So you got to really be willing to understand how I shift lanes, you know.
Let me ask you this, Nate, and this is real talk right here, bro. Yeah. I mean, for me, my passion is digital marketing. I love marketing, because with marketing, you give value, you put it out there, and the consumer determines what that value is. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
With sales, I got to bend your elbow for you to buy something here, you know.
Right.
So I like the strategy of marketing, because the strategy of marketing is a long-term game, bro. It's you got to be very patient, and I've learned patience, man, and I'm learning patience. And I've talked to a couple other friends recently who have amazing journeys, bro. I mean, just stories, bro, I could go on for days talking about, but I'm here to tell you they're in the same thing, and they've shared the same thing with me, man, because I guess in South Florida, there's the creative culture is very rich, man. I mean, the times that I've been down there recently, you could get trumpled over with a film crew in Cayo Ocho or in the beach or anywhere, bro. You know, it's like there's a lot of creative flow in South Florida.
Right.
So any individual is going to probably want to approach you. Like you said, you get hit every day. You know, people are reaching out to you, emailing you, trying to talk to you and trying to sell you stuff. And there's going to be probably people who are going to want to document your story that are going to want to do it as a project, like you said.
Right.
And try to use that for leverage. Try to use your story for leverage.
Right. You know.
Now let me ask you this, because my passion's becoming film more and more, bro.
Yeah.
And so for somebody who like me, who I'm 44, who aspires to be a film director, perhaps in the future, and do a movie, I'm getting more pumped up as we talk by the second. Something that has been really just burning inside of me only recently. And I'm a huge fan of Rocketeer Films. And what I'm doing is that I've changed my entire strategy. And what I'm doing is that I'm just going to see Magic City Hustle, the movie. I've seen Screwball several times, numerous times already. And I'm reaching out to every single person that I can. I'm talking about the janitor. I'm talking about anybody that was related somewhat with any of the films, whether it was a musician, an artist, a grip, a photographer, an audio guy, whatever, man, and just highlight their stories, their journeys, and their passions as well. And that's what I'm doing, bro. So next time there's another movie or anything else going on with Magic City Hustle or Screwball or anything else that Rocketeer Films is doing, I'm going to try to be there in South Florida. And try to be there hustling, interviewing people out there wherever they're filming or at the movie theater when people are coming in, whatever, with the Ask How Did You Get In a Show, which is another creative platform of mine. So that's what my thoughts are. But what's your recommendation for somebody like me, bro, who's, let's say I approached you and said, I said, hey, Nate, bro, like, I want to document your story. Like, I want to film whenever you're ready and you think it's the right time. What would you say to me?
I mean, honestly, you know, I'd be real protective about who film me because of the type of era we're living in now. You know, my first documentary, if you look at it, it was, I was ahead of my time. I was ahead of this time where it was so original. And I was the only one with people following me around, you know, and that is what made it special, you know, outside the fact that, hey, look how far Nate's come. You know, he don't look at how far he got to go. He look at how far he's come. So he's going to always consider himself a success every day of his life. You know, nowadays I look at my son, I tell him he's part two, I'm part one. I say, man, you part two. I say, this era is a joke. You know, it's like everybody got phones. Everybody, you know, think they famous and they take out the integrity of life. You know, it's like, you know, you have Superman, you have Batman, you have like, you know, like superheroes.
Yeah.
These days, people are super fools.
Yeah.
Like they like super fools. So I respect that because I got a song, a rap song where I say, boy, them niggas wild. Boy, them niggas. They don't really want to get paid money. They want to get paid attention. So with you following me with cameras, we got a really, really what's real and what's foolish and how we going to put it. Because I Nate the Great, I'm not going to be like everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you cut out there for about a minute, but that's fine. Whatever we captured.
Yeah, the phone was ringing, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No worries, brother. No worries, because we could always add to this conversation with another recording. So don't sweat that at all. So what year was that, bro, that you had people following you, documenting?
Well, that was 4 years out of my 5 years at UM.
That was back in the days when you were with the U.
Yeah, man. I was in college. That was my college years. You know what I'm saying?
And who were those people, man? Oh,
Max Stein was a student. He was a millionaire now. He's a millionaire now. He shot the executive producer with the Halloween. I think it was Halloween 3 or 4 or 5, one of the Michael Myers movies, you know. My boy Scott, you know what I'm saying? And Chad,
That's amazing, bro. I mean, I would love to talk to those guys, man, because to have that vision, for you guys to have that vision back then, that's mind-blowing to me, bro. Honestly, that's mind-blowing. Because, like you said, nobody was doing that back then.
Yeah,
I got you again. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Wow, bro, that's nuts. So, man. All right. So, where were we, man? Let me see. Okay, so you had now that crew that was following you around. Back in the days of the U, those guys, have you kept, obviously, you're still in contact with these guys.
Well, it's just like, you know, it's like anything else. You know, you got Facebook and, you know, you got to face reality. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yep. I'm Nate the Great from the start to the finish, man. I ain't got, you know, I'm not with the groupie shit, whether it's me or,
right,
you know, whether it's them. You know, I give everybody their space, and I live my life. They I know Scott hit me up. He was like, thumbs up. He went crazy about the Magic City Hustle movie. Cause it's 30 billboards up, man. They got like over 30 billboards. They got shit all abandoned, banners all on the buses and everything.
Got 30 billboards up in Miami.
Yeah, that shit. It's everywhere, man. You know what I'm saying? And then
man,
the promotion,
I'll tell you what, man.
Billy putting the millions on, you know, Billy got sitting on the millions, man. So he promoting the hell out of it because the $5 go to his account. So, you know, that boy got to get his money back. So he's a businessman. You know what I'm saying?
That's the real $5 flip right there, brother.
Yeah, man. Everybody paying.
$5 flip.
But it's an inspirational movie, you know, and I take a different approach.
I'll tell you what, man. When I had it and got on the website, MagicCityHustle.com, and I saw that it was $5, I was taken back. I was like, there's got to be a mistake. Is this the movie? I even went back. I refreshed it because I thought it was a joke. I said, $5 for the movie?
Right.
And it was $5, man. I mean, so that's a good deal, bro. I'll tell you what, and just the whole $5 thing flipped me up, and I was just all excited about that. And when I saw that opening, and I was sold in the first minute, and then the ice cream truck. What did you do with the ice cream truck? Did you sell them or what? Are you still doing that?
No. Well, we still doing it. You know, it's just timing. Yeah. You know, the kids done got older now, so it's all about the semi trucks. Now we just emerge. You know what I'm saying?
Wow,
just
man.
Emerge. You know.
That's awesome. And I'll tell you what, man, usually on with the podcast, I put a song in the beginning and a song at the end. I've heard a lot of your songs, man.
Yeah.
What would you like for your episode on the Ahuedjerena audio experience?
Oh, man.
At the beginning, give me a song for the beginning, one of your songs, and give me one for the end.
Oh, you know, we'll go with the classic, man. Go with the Hurricane song at the beginning. And, you know, let me see off the new album. Gotta download that. You go with Coming to My Life, you know. Coming to My Life. They got that in the movie. I like that song. It's one of my new songs.
Coming to My Life.
Yeah.
All right, so Hurricane. And Coming to My Life.
Yeah, Hurricane, that's us. That's the
You got it, brother.
I'll tell you what, man. If you can't find Coming to My Life, cause you'll have to download that album. That's off of cdbaby.com/all/ Megaball MEGABALL. That's where all my music is at, you know what I'm saying?
Repeat that one more time.
CD baby, like CD.
CD baby.
.com.
.com.
/ all. ALL.
Okay.
/ Megaball. MEGABALL.
Okay.
And then you had to get the download. You had to get the Magic City Hustle album.
Gotcha.
And then that's where Coming to My Life is at.
Got you. I didn't even know about that. I'm gonna look into that, bro.
Yeah, I need my album.
I'm glad you mentioned that. All right, brother. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Thank you for your time, bro.
For sure.
Yeah, brother. Let's. Are you ever up in Central Florida? Are you ever in Orlando? Or?
Well, we about to. You know, Sam. Like I say, man. We about to crank the truck up and get the moving around. So.
Yeah.
No, we I'll figure something out so I can get up there and get in that green tree, man.
Yeah.
The green chair.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of green trees in Central Florida as well.
Nah, I want to get in the green chair. I was thinking about the hurricane practice field, the green tree.
Yeah, bro.
And I say you got the green chair, and I'm sitting in the
green chair.
And I say the green tree. Get in that green chair, man.
Yeah, brother. If you're ever in Central Florida, hit me up. And I'm actually thinking of going down in August to South Florida. There's a big event at Ball and Chain in Calle Ocho, and it's going to be 3 days. It's going to be Labor Day weekend. It's going to be 21 different musicians, 7 DJs. It's going to be a big deal, bro. And I got some friends of mine that are going to be down there, Electric Piquete, and you know who they are. They were one of the bands featured in Magic City Hustle as well.
Oh, wow, man.
And yeah, so they're going to be down there, and I'm friends with the drummer and Ed Rosado, and I love these guys, man. I just love their music, and they're going to be down there, and I really want to get down there. So if I'm in South Florida, there's a lot of people I got to hit up in a couple of days, including family. But I definitely want to connect with you, bro. So I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I'll reach out to my boy Baba for you. You know, he's pretty cool. He's in the neighborhood.
Tell him. All right, brother. You want it? All right. We'll definitely connect, man. Appreciate your time. It was awesome, man. And I'll catch up with you soon. Much love.
All right, man. Appreciate that.
All right, brother. Have a good night. Peace.
Don't forget to check out the movie Magic City Hustle, directed by Billy Corbin. You can find it at magiccityhustle.com. Enjoy it. I know I did. May you have the best day ever. Love you guys. Peace.